Amen. Good evening. How's everybody doing this evening? I so want to say tonight, you know, it's just, it's hard. You guys good? We all spread out. I mean, we're just like, we're almost outside. Can we move up a little bit? Would that be all right? Stand up and move. Move the circulation. If you don't want to move, amen, but I'm weird. I know we like each other. I know it's Thursday night and we're a little tired, but amen. Zach is in the house. Come on, Zach. Thank you guys for moving. Come to the spit zone. Don't be scared. Teens, you better stay awake. I will call on you. Nikita, I see you over there. Yes, I did call you out. You should be used to it by now. Well, awesome. Welcome to midweek. I hope you guys are doing well. Guys, let's be engaged, amen. This Saturday, if you're a father, let's be out praying for our kids. If it's on your heart to help Alario move, come and help us. If it's not on your heart and you're hugging your pillow, let the pillow go. I'm saying, put the pillow down and come help a brother out. He's in need, and that family is very much in need. I just want to say thank you for all the prayers for them. They really need these prayers. Alario started school again tonight. I actually had dinner with him, spent a little time with him. It was great. But he has to take these Thursday classes. It's not even a choice. But he wants to be with the body. Amen? So while we're here, I know we're a little tired. I can see it in your faces. This brother in class struggling, wanting to be here. So let's be engaged. Amen? What's in a name? What is in a name? Have you ever been labeled? Has anyone ever called you something that you might not be? Has someone ever given you a nickname that was less than flattering? Have others ever told you and expected you to be something, and then maybe even inadvertently you started living up to that expectation? Don't let other people tell you who you're supposed to be. You need to figure out who you're supposed to be with God, right? That's kind of giving away the lesson, but that's all right. I feel generous tonight. I'm going to give it early. There's just something in a name. You know, a lot of times our names tell about who we are. You know, I'm a big geek. Me and my kids had this great talk about the difference between a geek and a nerd. See, some people laugh. They know what's up. A geek, I'm a geek. I'm not that, you know, I'm smart. I'm all right, smart. But a geek is just a guy that's, you know, likes something. And he's just very passionate about it. A nerd is a smart guy that really likes something and is passionate about it. So we were in the family, in the car, talking, are you a geek or a nerd? I'm like, well, if you ask my eighth grade teacher, they might say something different than my college teachers. But come on, that was funny. I'm giving my best stuff. Come on, y'all. Superheroes have their hero names. I'm a geek. I love superheroes. Last year, the Stair Girls for Christmas or my birthday, one or two, gave me Batman socks. And I only break those out on special occasions, amen? One of them even has capes. I haven't been bold enough to wear those yet. I am working up to it. But superheroes have those superhero names, and it tells you about what they are. Spider-Man kind of tells you what he does, right? He don't fly, because I don't know of any spiders that fly. But again, I'm a geek, not a nerd. There might be some out there. I don't know. The Flash. The Flash can't be some boring, slow guy. It would go against the name, right? Flash, he would be flashy with some bling and hopefully quick, right? Yeah. You with me, right? Amen. Some people have very cool names. Alexander the Great. Conan the Barbarian. Richard the Lionheart. Superman, the Man of Steel. Who doesn't want to be the Man of Steel? And even for you ladies, Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. I'm trying to include your sisters, amen? Well, those names tell you a little bit about their characters, and also their functions. You know, I get it that some of these are fictitious characters, but there are some characters historically that have been given some unflattering names. Doubting Thomas, Benedict Arnold, or simply Judas. Does anyone know of any Judases? I think he kind of messed up that name pretty good for the rest of life, right? Because of his actions. What would your name be if God gave you a name? In a little while, what I want to do towards the end of this thing is for us to get into groups of five or six. You know, do whatever you want to do. But of people that know you. And I want you guys to add to each other's names. But we're going to get to that. This is going to be a little give and take tonight. Names in biblical times also had a function. Here are a few Hebrew names. Adam. It means son of red earth. Moses means to draw out because he was drawn out of the river Nile, the Nile River. John means God is gracious. And if you know me, you know that is a very accurate statement. Jesus means God saves. You know, these are just a few examples, and there are a few where God himself changes someone's name. Okay, so we have Abram, exalted father, renamed Abraham, father of multitudes. Jacob, holder of heel, renamed Israel, he who prevails with God or may God prevail, depending on the context. Sarah means my princess, renamed Sarah, which just says, means princess or noble woman. We could do a whole study on, you know, what these mean in context. And then Jesus renamed Simon, which means he has heard to Peter, which in Aramaic means stone or rock. And he's the guy that I kind of want to focus on this evening. You know, when God decides to change someone's name or to give you a new name, it is not for flash or for show. It's with purpose. And he doesn't just simply give you a name and just leave you at that. He wants you to do something with it. Like I said, the name of this lesson is called Renamed. What would your name be if God himself renamed you? Has God actually given you a new name, and are you being obedient to that new name? You know, God has a purpose for each one of us. You believe that? Amen. Even when we're tired, God has a purpose for us. Even when we're discouraged, God has a purpose for us. And what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes is, even when we're in sin, God has a purpose for us. You don't get to go on vacation when you're not doing well. Did you hear that? Sometimes going into a state where we're in sin or we're going through some stuff, that doesn't mean, well, now I can chill till I get better. That's a whole nother story. You tell me what better looks like, and you tell me what well looks like. As long as you're breathing and you're on God's grace, man, you're doing pretty good. If you walk around the city of Atlanta and you're asking people how their relationship with God is, you might start getting encouraged where your relationship with God is this evening. And we need to be excited about that, even on Thursday at almost 8 o'clock at night. Turn your Bibles over to Luke 5. Luke 5. Now, I wasn't sitting at home eating bonbons and chilling out all day, just so you know. I know sometimes ministers get that, you know, well, he hasn't worked all day. I've been out the house all day. So I'm not just coming all hyped. I had about 3 cups of coffee, so, you know, I might be a little ahead of y'all, but I need some feedback, amen? Let's get a lot out of tonight, because God has given me a lot from this lesson. Man, I hate being not mobile. Okay. I got too much energy. Okay. Luke 5, starting in verse 1, it says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of The people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they assigned their partners, they signaled their other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled up both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Okay, so this is where we meet Simon. And that's what we know him as, Simon. Who later, obviously, Jesus renames Peter, but we'll get to that in a minute. Simon's reaction to the power of Jesus was what? Was fear. He had all these feelings about what he witnessed Jesus do. You know, I believe that he knew that if he went with Jesus, that his life would never be the same. And guess what? He was absolutely right. Can't you also say that as well? Ever since that you met Jesus, life has not been the same. And guess what? Even if you leave Jesus, which I know ain't nobody in here going to do, your life would never be the same. Jesus has this immense power to change lives and continue to transform us on a daily basis. The fact is that it scared him. Jesus is like, "Who is this dude that tells us to do something that goes against the culture and that God blesses it?" He tells us to go do something we've been doing all of our lives. This dude is a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. He's not supposed to tell me how to do what I do. But he did. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you allowing Jesus to tell you what you think you know what you're doing? That's another lesson. That's another lesson. You know, before you start giving Simon a hard time, I want you to stop and think about how your attitude was before you got it. You know what I mean by that, before you got it? Some of us studied the Bible for a very long time before we got it. And if you're in the room today and you're a disciple of Jesus, you got it. You understood that Jesus is the way, and that, yes, his power scares the mess out of me, but without him, where do I go? Peter got it, and it transformed his life. He did incredible things, but before that, remember how he's feeling. He felt unworthy. Do you feel worthy? Do you feel worthy to call yourself a son of God, a daughter of God, a representative of the king to this broken world? I don't. I'm a broken man with plenty of issues. Ask my wife. But you know what? I'm appreciative of God calling me to his service. And I will continue to work hard to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, being a disciple is not about being in the ministry. It's not about being elders. It's not about position or power. It's about allowing God to use you where you're at. When God uses you where you're at, man, my son brought a visitor on Sunday. He ain't a disciple. He's 13 years old. He's still trying to figure out seventh grade. But you know what? He's witnessed me and my wife share our faith from time to time. He knows that God is good. And he was at an event, and he just said to the guy, "Hey, you want to come to my church?" The guy said, "Actually, yes, I do." And he came. And he brought his girlfriend. And they're excited, and they're coming out this Sunday. You don't even have to be a disciple to have an impact for Jesus. God will use non-disciples to do his work. But you know what? We're disciples. Shouldn't we be the one chomping at the bit for God to use us? God wants to give us all a new name. And with that new name, he wants to give us a new purpose. You know, when he looked at that harsh fisherman, Jesus saw something different than anyone else. When Peter looked in the mirror, the only thing he saw is what stood before him. You know what Jesus saw? His son. He saw someone lost that needed him. Jesus saw potential. Let me ask you a question. When you look at yourself in the mirror, is that what you see? Do you realize and see the untapped potential that we all have in Christ? Man, you know what? We might be tired. We might have issues. We might be going through some stuff. But, man, if we get in line with Jesus, ask him what our name is and say, okay, what is my purpose with that name and do it? Oh, my goodness. Gwinnett County will never be the same again. But you know what? It takes all of us to be ready and willing to accept the call of Jesus. Now, many of us here are disciples, right? We've accepted the call. Are you being lulled by this holiday season? Are you fired up spiritually? Are you chomping at the bit in your Bible, or are you worried about the sale that's going on at Buy Mart and Save Mart? 99% off. I could give a less about all that stuff, because I know it's Satan's tool to get us to be not focused. Now, am I saying don't buy some stuff? No, there's going to be some gifts for my kids under the tree. Absolutely. What I'm saying is, as we're going along, or are you reaching out to people who right now are so caught up in Santa that they forgot about Jesus? You know, before he gave him a new name, he gave him a purpose. Verse 8, he says, when Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. What did that take for Simon to do? Humility. Are you a humble man or woman this evening? Do you go to God and say, God, I am a complete mess without you. Whether I'm a disciple or not, whether I've been baptized or not, I'm a mess without you. I need you. That's not a one-time thing, guys. We need to be begging God every day to help us to be our best. There's so much out there looking to devour us. You know, I praise God. Last year, around this time of the year, I was in a very bad place mentally. I was feeling very depressed. I was hurting, and I wasn't letting anyone in. I was kind of saying, I got this, I'm good. That doesn't sound like humility to me. Sounds like pride. Sounds like somebody hiding, trying to be something that they weren't. This year, I said, forget all that. And in the beginning of the season, admitted it even before the church, saying this year will be different. And I prepared myself through the Bible so that it would be a different year. And guess what? It totally is. Complete victory. Now, I'm not stupid. Satan is a crafty dog. Going to the hospital and being there for Ermelinda and being there for Ilario, woo! Those lonely drives home, Satan was right there saying, you saw that? Don't that remind you of your parents? You saw all that? That death as you walk by all these rooms? You see all the sadness that's in the room? Don't you want to go there? Because you know what? With depression, there comes getting out of the depression, which brings joy again. So a guy like me that loves emotion, there's a payoff from being down here than when you come back up here. What we're trying to do is be right here. Level. You see what I'm saying? Because people that are addicted to emotions love the ups and the downs. I just want to be stable for the Lord. I just want to, wherever you find me, that we with Jesus. You know, we're just trying to make it happen. I don't want to be so, oh, amen. And then the next day, oh, you know, life is horrible. I just want to be stable. My wife is a very stable woman, and I appreciate that about her. I've learned a lot from her. Watching her deal with situations and watching her stably come out of them. With me being, I'm like, okay, this ride got to stop. I'm going to wear myself out. I don't give myself a heart attack. But here Simon is humble and he says, I'm a sinful man. You know, before you can come to the Lord, you better admit that you're a sinful man or woman. And even after you've been with the Lord, you better admit that you're a sinful man and a sinful woman. The Bible says when you say you have no sin, the Bible says you're a liar. And the truth is not found in you. I love what Jesus says to him. He says in 10b, then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, for from now on you will fish for people. You will be a fisher of men. I don't know about y'all, but when I first became a disciple, and I was told, or even during my studies, when they said, man, this is God's call for you as well. I was like, for real? I get to be God's spokesman? Now, he didn't come out of heaven and say, your name is whatever, but my name is disciple. And by being a disciple, he already gave me a purpose, and he's telling me what to go do, just like Peter. See, when Jesus saw you and picked you out the world, he wasn't just looking at you. He was looking at you as a son or daughter with great potential. Are you living up to the potential of the name disciple? We don't need to be called Alexander the Great. I'd rather be called John the Servant than John the whatever, because that's what Jesus was. He was a servant. Jesus gave Simon a new purpose that day, and it changed his life forever. You know, Jesus doesn't want a piece of our life. He wants it all. He don't just want a little section. Well, you know, give me Thursday night at 7:30 to 8:45, and then you can dip out as soon as you can. Jesus is saying, give me all Thursday, all Friday, and you kind of get my point, right? He wants every day, even when we're not doing well. Sometimes when we're not doing well, we feel, well, I'm kind of off the hook, right? I really got to pray because I'm not doing well right now. It's expected that I'm not doing well, so I don't have to do certain things. Guys, we have to stop being lazy during this time of the year. You heard? We need to stop being lazy. We're so worried about Christmas cards and gifts that we're not having the quiet times that we need to have so that we could be that spiritual person when we're opening them gifts. I don't know about you guys. Have you ever put up a tree and at the end of it you were like, because your kids were driving you crazy? Maybe it's just me. The way y'all looking at me, I guess it is. But I don't think so. We're all sinful up in here. You might have a different stressor than I do. But guess what? When we're close to the Lord, whatever comes up, we could deal with it. Why? Because he's with us. You could write 200 Christmas cards, and that's not going to bring you close to the Lord. Now, am I saying don't do Christmas cards? Man, please, rewind the tape and listen again. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is make sure that God is center in everything we do. I'm not trying to grinch out Christmas. I'm not trying to tell us we can't have fun. What I'm saying is if Jesus is not with us, we're going to have a great time with Santa and the Rudolph and, you know, and that reindeer guy, and that will be the extent of our ending of November and our December. And we will enter January limping with regrets. I want to start off the new year hot and popping. I want it to be like, woo, what are we doing? What's the next move? What's the next thing God wants from me? My name is Disciple. I want to know what you have. What's my next assignment, Lord? Does that make sense? Look over in Matthew 16. You know, any life of purpose, the change does not happen overnight. So here, I'm not trying to overwhelm you with thinking that you need to be, you know, Simon and then Peter overnight. It's a process. Let's look at some of the process for Peter. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, this is a very important time in now Peter's life. He used to be the guy who saw stuff. Now he is the stone or the rock. Now, we are aware from Scripture that the church is built on Jesus and no one else, right? So even if he called them a rock or a pebble or whatever the translation wants to be that day, we know that Jesus is not talking about that the church is built on him. We know that that's not the case. But we also know that he gave him a great responsibility by giving him the keys of the kingdom. That's a huge responsibility. So Jesus didn't just say, okay, now you're going from Simon to Peter, now go chill out and go have your latte and relax. He said, now I'm going to give you this huge responsibility. What you going to do with it? So now go back to us. We've been given the name disciple. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Guys, it's not a guilt out session. This is a session to catch where we're at and figure out where we're going. Living in the past does nothing but make you sad, personally, because there's nothing productive in the past. You can't do nothing back there. The only thing you could do is right here, I could do stuff. Back there, I can't change it. And I could dream about the future. Jesus was giving Peter a dream. What is your kingdom dream? What is your dream for your family during this Christmas holiday? You're going to be seeing cousins and Aunt Bunny and, you know, all these people that you haven't seen in many years. What are you going to do? Give them a fruitcake and keep it moving? Or are you going to try to change their life? Are you going to share with them what this Jesus has done for you? Are you going to tell them about this name change and this direction change, what God has done in your life? Or are you just going to eat, drink eggnog with them and have a good time? Drink the eggnog and have a great conversation as you enjoy it. Eat your, if you can get down that fruitcake, praise God. But do what you want with that fruitcake. But be about God's business. Man, if we have to be told to be about God's business, the kingdom of God is in a lot of trouble. The kingdom of God is, Ben Barnett was not talking to his church on Sunday. Remember when he said that? Well, I might be just talking to my church. No, he talked to us. We need to be about the business, amen? Jesus gave Peter a new name and a new responsibility that he would open the doors for the kingdom of God here on earth. Let's look over in Luke 22. Like I said before, are you walking in your purpose only when you think you're doing well? I would love someone to write a book and lay out what doing well looks like. I don't know what doing well looks like. I have seen people that look like they were doing well on the outside, and they have fallen away months or years before. I know people that didn't look like they were doing well, but yet they were the ones praying and serving the most. Doing well, there's no face to it. It's about your relationship with God. And that's on an individual basis. God is not calling up ACOCG, oh, y'all come up, and I'm going to judge you together as a group. As much as maybe we might like that, it's going to be individual. So where are you at individually with God today? And it's not a checklist item. This is not a, am I in the kingdom or am I out of the kingdom? No, it's about are we being pleasing to Father? Is he happy with us? Are you enjoying your relationship with God? You know, I believe there were times in Peter's life that he enjoyed being a disciple. But there were some times where he didn't. You know, right here, what we just read in Matthew 16, later on in Matthew 16, Jesus rebukes Peter. Right after, he gives him the keys of the kingdom. But notice what he didn't do. He didn't turn around and say, oy vey, I made the wrong choice with you. Give me them keys back. He didn't take the keys back. That's significant to me. He had just bestowed this huge responsibility, and even when he messed up, he looked at him with eyes that saw the future instead of where he was standing at right then. When we're in sin or we've messed up, guys, we cannot give up hope. Don't give up hope. That's where Satan wants you. If you are struggling tonight in here, confess your sins and move on. That's all God wants. It is not cheap grace. It's very expensive grace. But God loves us so much that he wants an intimate relationship. If you don't go to him and ask him for the restoration back, it's not going to happen. We have to go to him with humility. I love Peter. He had a big mouth. That could be my name. And I'm sure some of you already said it. John the Big Mouth. And I'm okay with that. As long as I'm talking about the Lord and other things. But he renamed Simon to Peter, and he used him in a great way. You know, in Luke 22, 31 to 33, it says, to 32, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan had asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. You catch that part? He said, this is Jesus speaking, and I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail you. So it wasn't a guarantee, but being God, he knew what Peter was going to do. And he said, when you come back, strengthen your brothers. You know, sometimes for me, that helps me to repent quickly. Because now I know that what I've been through, I can help other people with as well. You know, getting together with Elijah today was very encouraging because he said, we prayed together and he said, God, thank you for John because he's been through where I'm at right now. And it helped me to really put into perspective that, God, you've allowed me to lose my parents for a reason. You've allowed me to be a drug addict in the past for a reason. You allow me to go through my laundry list of sins so I can now help sinners and the saved stay saved. Come on, man. Tell me that God is not good. Tell me that he can't use where you're at right now to his glory. Even if you're struggling like crazy right now, tell me you can't repent right now and bless somebody in here before you leave tonight. I challenge you. If you're struggling, repent now. And help somebody before you leave tonight. That needs to be our attitudes. You don't come up in here to be entertained. You come in here to be challenged, uplifted, and then you're going to put into practice what you've been taught. Let's not look at the scriptures and say, well, that was a nice lesson, amen, and go home and be the same. We're not supposed to be the same. Our faith is supposed to be moved on daily. If you're the same way today as you were last Christmas this time, you're not progressing the way the Lord wants you to. Now, should you just give up then? Absolutely not. Because then you lost. But if you're here, you're won. You're winning. God is so good to us. God, even when we're struggling, gives us purpose. We must not give up on God either. When we wonder, God, why have you not answered this prayer? Maybe he has. Maybe you didn't hear him. Because you're so stuck up in your own head, wondering, God, where are you? God, where are you? He's like, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm working behind the scenes for you. Where's our faith tonight? Do you have to see it to believe it? Remember that guy, Doubting Thomas? That's kind of what his whole deal was. We need to have faith that we don't need to see. You know, we read in Acts 2, that Peter stands up among the believers and, in fact, opens up the kingdom of God. This is after he denied his Lord 3 times. Couldn't Jesus, because he's God, right, tell him, oh, Joker, you're about to deny me 3 times. Give me them keys back. Imagine if one of your kids messes up your car. You going to give him the keys again? You ain't going to see my car again. You better go down to Chick-fil-A and get a job. Jesus let him keep the keys. Guys, God loves us exactly where we're at tonight. God wants us to do great things. Do you want to do great things? And guess what? Doing great things, it looks different for everybody. You know, when you're a campus disciple, it's a lot different than it looks like in the married ministry. When you're a teen disciple, it looks different than the prime timers. But guess what? We just need to do who we are in wherever life situation we are. Look over in Acts 4. We're going to land this plane. And I need to get some water. Acts 4, starting in verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It is not you that they are astonished by. Did you hear me? It is not what you've done. It is about who you're with that gives us the pep in our step. When people see the power that we bring, it's because Jesus has deposited that power in us, and we're just letting it radiate. It's not nothing we did. Look at your wrist. You don't see no holes, right? You didn't die for no one. You have not bled for no one. It is time to give God his due and be obedient to what he's calling you to do. He has named you disciple. Do you wear that name with honor? Do you say, today I will be a disciple? I will not just be called one. Back in the day, the word Christian was actually a derogatory term. Now, it's almost a badge of honor. Or, in some circles, hypocrite. Are you a Christian? Yeah, right. How many people have you shared your faith with? They say, oh, I don't go to church because it's just full of hypocrites. You know why I tell those people? Well, come on, join us. We need another one. You know, it's like, hey, we all mess up. Come and check us out. You never have to come back. That's one of the things Richard used to tell people. Come back. If you don't like it, never come back. Guys, we need to be about the business. When they see our courage, do they know it's coming from Jesus, or is it, oh, you must be from New York? Oh, you from Atlanta, huh? You from College Point, right? You that tough kid, right? Don't make me try to do that walk. It's the gout. It's only the gout. It's not about where you're from. It's about what you're doing where you're at. I know plenty of punks from New York. Let's just keep it real. I know plenty of people that come from tough places that didn't do any tough things. And I know plenty of disciples that are coasting into heaven without being what they could fully be in Christ. Are you one of those people? Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Look at yourself, dead up to yourself. I need to share my faith more. Absolutely. I get caught up in my own head about what's going on in my life. And I'm busy running around. I have a lot of appointments. I meet a lot of people. But I need to be generating and saving lost souls personally. Absolutely. What's your thing? Where's your faith level? When you walk with Jesus, he turns cowards into men with courage. Remember who Peter was just a couple of chapters earlier. He was running line. I don't even know the man. He was being a coward. And now here it is, Peter, an unschooled, ordinary man, standing up in front of thousands, preaching the word of God, opening up the kingdom of God. Jesus has the power to change cowards into men with courage. You know, he took a man that had no vision, and he helped him, plus a bunch of other guys and women, turn the world upside down. When God changes your name to disciple, we need to live up to that name. I wanted to take a few minutes again and gather in groups of five or six. I thought about my beautiful wife with this, and I said, Marissa Bell the sweet. Everybody could relate with that, right? She's very sweet. Marissa Bell the wise. She's a wise one. She said, keep me out of your lessons, please. Marissa Bell the humble. Those are just a few, and husbands and wives and everybody else, do your thing. But man, let's leave encouraged. Let's leave with some affirmations of who we are, and let's not leave with just a new name. Let's leave with a new direction. Amen? So, guys, just grab some other people, stay up in here. We have, it's only 8:30 now, so I guess we have about 15 minutes for this. I'm not sure how long we usually stay. We stay with the teens till 8:45. So why don't we break up into small groups and encourage one another. Amen. Let's have a quick prayer, and then you'll be dismissed to do that, and then leave. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. We don't deserve you. We don't deserve new names. We deserve condemnation. But, Father, in all your wisdom, mercy, and love, you've blessed us with new names, and you've blessed us with new purpose in life. I thank you so much, God, for the grace you've given us. Father, help us to remember on a daily basis that our worst day as a disciple compares nothing to someone who's not saved. Thank you so much, Father, that Hermelinda is a disciple of yours. That, Father, if you call her home, that she will finish the race seeing your face. Father, isn't that exactly what we want for ourselves and for many others? I ask you, God, to give us a purpose. I ask you for it not to just be another good lesson, for us to be all fired up and not do anything with it. Father, help us to have action plans to repent and to live life being disciples, God, being sons and daughters of the Most High. We thank you so much for all that you do. Get us all home safely, and again, help us all to encourage one another now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.